And regardless of what he wants to tell you, he had the Attorney General of Texas after him.
Well, greetings, Commander. Today is the 9th of May, 1998.
EJ?
Yes.
You are in trouble.
It is your fault.
I will tell you this. It is either him or me. Now, which one are you going to choose, Commander?
Who's him?
Yeah, who's the him?
EJ. I have to use the same speaker. Things in the legal realm are very, very pressured, but are going very well. In the personal realm, as things are unfolded in depositions, etc., and the entire point of them is to cause rifts, confusions, mighty battles that go on into infinity. You do need to be caught up. And you need to be caught up as unemotionally as possible. On the other hand, what happens if there is no emotional involvement or no particular personal involvement in something, nothing gets done. It turns out that in life, the human being has to have a personal involvement for motivation. Although we note that there has not been enough motivation simply because there is not enough knowledge. And you will find when you get into a courtroom, the judge will rule with them for your ignorance. The law says a person in pro per must meet all the requirements of the law. And believe me, the law books that guide that kind of activity is greater than the size of the IRS manual. The game of law has begun to be, well, it hasn't begun, it's been this way, and it just evolves and evolves. So that a lawyer does not want to file a document until the very moment that it has to be stamped by the clerk, if you can't fudge it, and then go lie about it in court. Well, I got it down here on time. I can't help it if it's missing. This happened with Horton, and he never filed it. And the judge caught it and then literally denied him the privilege of making that sell. But it's been used since in other things. And you come to find out that the opposition can utilize every deposition ever taken in every case that comes up after that. But you can't. This is a lesson in the system. But it can't be a system changed if ones don't know even what to change of the system. And yes, I'm sure. I've heard it. My people won't admit it to me, but I've heard it, and I've heard it right up until yesterday. I can't do this, Dad. Yes, you can, dear. I can't. I can't stand them calling each other these awful things. They claim to be friends. And you can tell by the questions that these are hurtful. These are destructive. And yet they can't hurt the Eckers. And they don't give in anymore to this emotional pace the floor out in the hall. The truth is the truth. And when you stop lying and get to the truth, it will be the truth every time. You may miss the hour, you may miss the day, but the concept or what happened is the same. You may leave out things because after 10 years or 9 years or 6 years, the memory does fade on some things. And when you have so much in life going on, you're not going to have the proper dates or years or whatever in your testimony. But whoever's asking that should have it accurate, but they don't tell you. They don't help you. Well, if you'll just tell me what year we're talking about and one or two of the incidents, you're not here to ask me questions. Just answer the question. I don't even remember a year 1993. I either have to go by events or I can't answer that. But the threat is always there like the hammer. And once again, you will find that the most painful of all of this is not what an individual says to you once you have your own ego under control as far as your own activities and actions, and after you've been browbeaten long enough, you don't have the same, you can't hurt me much more, is the response. But can I sit here and watch them pick someone else to death? In the instance of Gene, for instance, Mr. Tipps brought Mr. Gene Dixon into this. He was recognized as Claude Dixon. Claude asked Eckers, please, to refer to me as Gene, because I do have all these problems. And he wanted to be honest, so he shared one or two of the problems, which didn't amount to a hill of beans, only to have them find out later that these are felony convictions. It's all right to be disbarred. Well, that's fine. Well, I was, of course, innocent. That's what everybody says. I was innocent. I got caught in this. Well, if you're going to play where there is illegalities going on, you're very apt to be the innocent one put upon. That's a nasty world. And they're, of course, going to set up the other guy as a fall guy regardless, and they're going to jump ship and leave you there to hang in the wind. So what these people are having to face is that by bringing what was basically to be a friendly claim against an attorney who could have gone back in there, was offered to go back in there with full support to take this to the source. And this man says, I cannot live with Mr. Horn every day for the rest of my life. Oh, Scott, you want us to do that? You want us to write off hundreds of thousands of dollars and the only property we owned and pick up a debt of $1 million so you don't have to confront Mr. Horn? Well, I will have to counter against you. I can understand that, she said. But you don't come back threatening the attorney that comes along after trying to put these pieces together and threaten him with malpractice from a personal standpoint from the lawyer himself. Mr. Tipps literally in writing threatened Brad Ellie with a malpractice suit. In writing, he also just literally, basically in legalese, cursed and then denounced Brad Ellie in these words. You would really protect your client against your brother attorney? Question mark. How many counts do you end up with against this man? There was one legal incident. Two at the most. Now there are about four counts of unethical behavior laying out there on the table. Asking another attorney to remove stuff from the file because he didn't want to be caught. Asking Gene, don't let them bring this against me now because I am renegotiating my insurance. And he was in the States at the moment trying to renegotiate his insurance. But that's out now, and it's known. It was known then. So then there are delays and delays trying to let it outdo its statute of limitations. And total cooperation with Mr. Horn in these delays. Because Mr. Horn's going to get caught. And then when you finally get to the point of asking for information and documentations, there is a total wall. You don't need to know about the insurance. Say what? That's what this is about, Mr. Tipps. I don't remember my insurance carrier. He must have been taking whatever Gene was taking. I don't remember my limits. And besides, it doesn't matter. Because at the time of the claim, it's just this. But you don't get any information on that either. So very definitely, you began to need a lawyer. And I was pleased. My people came right out and put it on the table. I would have preferred E.J. handle it a little bit differently, but it was uppermost in his mind, and so they're visiting, and so almost right off the bat. And I have to take a little credit for nudging him to do this. I hope you're not a Jewish attorney.
Hats off to E.J.
Well, he is a Jewish attorney. He wears a Star of David. He has a Jewish wife and family. But we got through that. And it would still be dangling, but we got through it. And there is a bond here now. And this man has, like I said before, Karen has really supplied him with stuff. And he feels that he is farther ahead in this case than he usually is. And, of course, he's right up against trying to keep them from getting some kind of a continuance to postpone this trial. And they are working. Oh, my goodness, they're working. But the judges are working equally as hard that within any possibility at all, they're going to have that trial start in June on time. That doesn't mean they can pull it off. Because here's Mr. Waite. Well, with all these volumes of material to go through and, you know, 200 years of contact paper and thus and so. And I have to have them this afternoon. I wonder what he did. He was in court all afternoon looking in case Mr. Martin said something derogatory about Mr. Tipps. And I'm sure that I have. Well, now, who said it? Oh, this space commander. Now we're off on a whole different tack. So we have to go through the Aton Hatton bit. Well, Mr. Rhodes has no trouble meeting head-on Aton. He recognizes the symbols. He's an educated man. He has no notion about all of this other stuff. But he certainly knows all about the Herman Russell, spelled 14 different ways, that you're running in the paper now. And so we are going to enlighten him a little more. For Rick's protection, those assets are now resting in Gaia, the global alliance, because they'll be after Rick now. They already are. Mr. Blinston's already been back on the scene just since the first running of that paper. Mr. Russbacher, Mr. Williams, as in Dave, his cronies. Only this time it's more serious. So we're going to run the next series, or starting now, and we'll run this one 4 times. We don't need to run the others except 2 more times. I want that Gaia information where Rick has very generously handed this over where it was wanting to be by Mr. Herman at the time. And Grandma is having a, oh my goodness, breakdown. And do you notice, Rick, how much information you get? Why, you people were even trying to work with Mr. Leonardo, who actually went to Granny to try to get a better deal. And she just told him that these were no good. Well, that's fine. There he sits with about $40 billion worth of contracts that are totally, totally worthless. So V.K. Durham is having to face the fact that her precious Russell Herman, that she thought she had absolute, wide open, all assets. Russell, I hope you've read the documentation. One of the times that Rick was missing, he was literally dumped with such a responsibility in clandestine people, unidentified entities, signing over Russell Herman's portion. Russell did not try to even begin to go into the V.K. Durham half, because that would have had to have been made public. So he only dealt with his half. I'm just generalizing. I'm not going to give people on these tapes any more information than that. These are valid, and here is V.K. That is not his signature. It's close, but it's not his signature. Who forged it? Well, my goodness, it is his signature. And so I guess he forged it. Reminds me of the protocols, doesn't it? The forgeries. Well, lady, if his is a forgery, guess where you stand. So I want Rick in full protection henceforth. I want those, please, run in the paper as major public notices. There was an original sign over of that value that passed through contact. But we don't even want those papers disclosed. Lives are at stake. And before we move farther from the lives at stake, you have to know that what is happening now is extremely, extremely serious. There are people in the Los Angeles area. Dave Williams brought out a young man, as all of you will remember, and the tale went something like this. Daddy is in trouble. They have arrested him. I want to help him. I have a lot of art, family wealth, art stashed, hidden here and there. I need to sell it to get help for my dad. Dave Williams comes up with the biggest community of misfits and problem people of anyone you're ever going to meet. And I don't mind him coming. He thinks I'm going to give him some great miracle and some names. I can't trust him to go blow his nose. I don't mean to be insulting. Whether he is this open or whether he is shrewd, you have to ascertain yourself. He is certainly welcome. But this young man that he brought is going to be possibly his death, because they've really, really blown it. You will remember that there was a Sunday when 4 or 5 people came, basically kind of with and because of Dave Williams, but they said they had just seen George Green in Mr. Prater, the attorney's office, the day before. He was headed for Costa Rica or something, and they had decided to come out here, and one of them even told Dorma that he had been Akhenaten, and therefore he felt really close to this group. He never came again, and I don't know what he ever decided to do about Akhenaten. She was relieved to know that, well, it's off my back now, this jerk, you know. So, out of the blue comes a call yesterday from one of these turkeys that was out here to Rick. And things are really serious. Now, Dave tried to get me to comment on this young man, and I asked that he be associated with Robert Necht. This is Dr. Necht, who is in art business, gold business, phony business, crooked business, good business, Arabian business, you name it. But he has always managed to keep a pretty clean front. And this man, because he had known VK in the security service years and years ago and knew of Russell Herman, he acted as the lawyer, especially with the art material, and became a second semi-executor of Russell Herman's will, in which Russell Herman had left Contact the paper $40 million. But in the process of talking about some things like this, Rick had really built, and Robert spoke at great length, you know, from time to time with EJ, there was kind of a bondage. He just said, I cannot work with that woman. VK was on the phone constantly belittling him and accusing him of stealing billions of dollars. Well, maybe he did. Everybody else has with these contracts. Robert sits with a whole desk full of viable Peruvian certificates that he shells out and he sells to the traders and they trade, or he sells back to the Treasury. And I will go on record now as there are two very valid, significant pieces of documentation validifying this bonus contract. So let's just put that right out there. It is residing in a vault in the Treasury Department. And it is a valid Federal Reserve debt. Well, Rick has continued from time to time to deal with Mr. Neck. So when they were here that Sunday, I said, please see Rick. Rick, hook them up with Robert Neck. If anybody can handle art, valid transactions in art, Robert can. He is now a little bit, he's in his late 60s. So he is not going to bury himself in anything that is going to even remotely reflect on him. He is a multi-billionaire, and he's made his money this way. So we don't really talk about how many billions, but he's worth it. He's got it, I'll put it that way. And he will very readily, what he suggested was, never mind those, just get enough money to buy these certificates at, you know, like 90% discount and take them, and they will buy you out. And since we've been offered to be bought out, we understand how it works. You take a 100% certificate, and they will give you half the value of it, and then they retire the document. But if its face is 1,000, well, let us say you've gotten up to $1 billion. You might clear 700 million out of it, tops, and it is parked. It is called bought out. Mr. Martin of Al, who Mr. Martin of Rick, has interviewed many times. Out of the blue, he calls Rick. All of this begins to happen, you see, as other things begin to happen. And the Russell Herman estate comes public because the one mandatory feature was not to make that public until and unless there was no other way to handle it. And it became necessary. Just trust me, it became necessary. Well, Mr. Martin calls and he wants to hypothecate the thing. We also go through the conversation of when Rick very innocently, and he usually has Charles or someone in there listening to this because nobody can believe it, that it's actually happening or being said. But Rick says, well, there was someone we mentioned before, and we never followed up on that. You never wanted to talk about that. But I think it's time we talk a little bit about Hatton. Oh, wrong. Oh, right. We're going to talk about him a little bit. What is this that you know? Oh, you naive people, Rick, you don't even have any idea what you're talking about. This is so dangerous, you are dead meat if you even talk about that. Oh, well, tell me about being dead meat. Rick, you are so naive. Well, okay. But I want to know. Okay, he says. I just want to put it this way. That is so high level, you really don't want to know. Well, Rick, having to work with this awful entity that terrifies the world, has to work with him every day. He believes maybe it's time to find out a little bit about what somebody else thinks. Who are Commander Hatton's absolutely devoted enemies? So he says, well, Rick, let's just put it this way. If that party is on the 127th floor of this building, you're just barely on the parking lot. And if you get in the elevator to try to get to the 127th floor, you are dead. The cables would be cut and you are dead. Do you understand me? Well, obviously Rick didn't. He proceeded with another couple of naive inquiries. But he was very careful not to tell him, you stupid idiot, we're already on the 127th floor with this gentleman. And we don't need to go back down there. We're perfectly happy up here where we are, being naive. But my goodness, don't you learn a lot? Well, George Bush just considers you an annoyance still. But I'll check. So he calls up Neil. And Neil Bush, yes. Who I suppose is visiting in Florida. He runs Bahrain. So you wonder if Mr. Martin called anybody because it's Jeb that's in Florida. And Jeb is in such a position, I don't know how many of you might know this, that his company just got fined $15 million for fraud. But they managed to not call it fraud. Pardon me, they didn't change it from fraud. They just changed it from a criminal,
probably made it negligent,
from crime to something just like you said. And instead of pursuing this into the criminal courts, they allowed them to settle for this fine of $15 million. Now, that's a little Jeb boy. So apparently he also asked the governor wishing to be president, George Bush. And anyway, we're just an annoyance to them, too. Just annoyances. But I guess that annoyance is rubbing like salt into the horse's sore back. So it is interesting, and we must do everything possible to protect each individual and make everything as public as possible. Now, out of the blue, who comes to visit? Mike Glinston makes a couple of visits. He's now working with something called Galaxy or Galactic something, and it is a part of the clandestine element of the Treasury Department. And he just wants to warn everybody. and he's driving a borrowed Mercedes, and he's going to move to Stallion Springs, and he's going to be the insider. And by the way, Gunther Rusbacher was involved. And now you know he's lying, because the only place you get these kinds of sources of information is from the scorned ex-wife, Riella, through Skolnick in Chicago. Gunther was a real part of bumping off Diana. And he is still an active agent. But his new supposed wife, Janie, is an even more remarkably active agent in England. Are they or are they not? And who the hell cares anymore? Mr. Blinston smells money. And so he claims that Ed Cleary did not give him all the information. We offered Ed Cleary and Michael Blinston even after what they were pulling, an opportunity. I have nothing to say to E.J. Ecker when he was told Mr. Ecker was trying to find him to give him some documents and so forth. Well, now he sure would like to talk to Mr. Ecker. I bet he would. You people have never been out from under their idiotic surveillance since the beginning in this room. But I'm not going to kick people out. You've got to be discerning. It's got to be serious enough with you that you never have secrets to hide. You handle your business, and especially the business that you conduct for others, absolutely in privacy, but you protect it. They're back trying to find out about these corporations Mr. Tipps told them about. And Mr. Ecker, just how many corporations have you ever signed on? Oh, 200, 300, 400, you know. Oh, well, Mr. Ecker, explain that to us, please. Well, we had a deal with Mr. Laughlin, he says, you know, where if we would be the interim paper shufflers, paperwork founders, if you would, for Mr. Laughlin. In the interim, Mr. Laughlin would set up the corporation. Then you needed somebody to be officers until the officer list is serviced. So we did that until everybody started squawking about it. And so we resigned from everything. But you can check that out with Mr. Laughlin. And then there are questions about Mr. James. And then there are questions about other people. And Tipps is just absolutely in his list of questions that he has demanded Mr. Waite ask, because you could tell Mr. Waite didn't have the vaguest idea and was too embarrassed to ask it a second time, but had to because the next question was on there. There were pages of questions. And this poor man couldn't get any information for asking Mr. Tipps questions while Mr. Tipps was nailing everybody he wanted nailed to make himself look good. And all he managed to do was prove to everybody present, and Will, including the judge, that he is nothing save a shyster himself. While he is trying to make himself look good, he has cut Gene Dixon's throat. And I find that unthinkable. It turns out when you go back, it just is almost too big a shock, even for the Eckers sitting there, to realize. Mr. Tipps came via Mr. Green. Mr. Dixon came via Mr. Tipps and Mr. Green. Mr. Green went out saying that he had established this Constitutional Law Center. He had nothing to do with it. That was one of the biggest upsetting one thing One annoyance to George Green. George Green would go to seminars. He told an entire group gathered around him that he owned corporate headquarters. He had, I set court up with $1 million. Now, you want to check out Hatton, you do that. Go ask Daryl Keenan. He was the one questioning George Green. So it turns out that the very manipulators have been the very ones that have supplied you with help. They're the very ones that have managed to get lawyers disengaged through this sort of tactics. I will sue you myself if you do a good job on this case. And that would come from Abbott and Horton working with Mr. Green. And so Eckers, I'm sure, sitting there like you, how could this be? Well, how could it be? You don't have any choice, do you? They don't let you do the business you came to do. They claim your business is fraudulent. They claim your products are no good and will even poison you. And Mr. Tipps was actually making the labels to put on the products. They were that good. He wouldn't take anything that wasn't, believe me. How can you stay in business if nobody lets you have products? And when the word is the lie, and the lie is forcibly put out there before everybody, what alternatives do you have? You fold your tents and go away and try to save whatever you can of self, emotions, and property. Or you do what we've done, and that is struggle along here and let them hang themselves. But it is an expensive project. These lawyers, none of them charge any more less than $225 an hour. Your new one is charging only $150 an hour. But he's spending 150 hours a day trying to catch up with the case. But by the time he's caught up with this case, please understand, he will know all the cases. And this one goes to the people. This one doesn't want to handle anything. He does not handle anything except high-level cases for the people before a jury. And if you come to a settlement after paying him $150 an hour up to there, he gets nothing. He walks away with just what he's been paid. If he wins, on the other hand, in court, he wants 40% of the settlement. And you see, in most of these, that's not even a month's pay for a lot of these attorneys. He doesn't even take cases this small. But he has written up some cases to the extent that he came to the attention of and was personally asked by Jerry Spence to come and work with him in his college where he trains trial attorneys. So he and Jerry Spence are very, very close. This is as good as you're going to get next to Jerry Spence, and better because Jerry Spence is too notorious. The man has compassion. He's going through some extremely emotional things in his life right now. He was in trial, as a matter of fact, the day his wife had to have cancer surgery. So all of you will understand this. Tomorrow, or Monday rather, his wife starts on chemotherapy. She has breast cancer. They were able to just do a lumpectomy, and they found no traveling to the lymph system yet. But here's a man trying to catch up, work around the clock, be out of town basically for a month during this most critical time when a wife needs the most support. and all he can think about, because he's been married 29 and a half years to this woman, and she is his secretary, his legal secretary. They've worked together in these later years. They both are fluent speakers of French. And isn't this a shame, since Mr. Tips lives in France overlooking Monaco, that they can't at least converse? They would enjoy each other. The wife was a teacher, a professor, teaching French. You're going to like him. He's a nice person. He has two children studying law. And his statement is, oh, God, please let me just influence them enough that they can understand. And I have to say, you're going to have to let them go out there in the world and be whatever they will be to know the difference. It's hard, isn't it? It's disappointing, isn't it? It's a struggle. But somewhere along, I see the struggle. As Dorma said, and Bill Moyer's son pointed this out on the television. Well, doesn't God, you proclaim God and you proclaim this and spirituality. What does that have to do with your illness, your addictions? And regardless of what he wants to tell you, he had the Attorney General of Texas after him.
Well, greetings, Commander. Today is the 9th of May, 1998.
EJ?
Yes.
You are in trouble.
It is your floor.
I will tell you this. It is either him or me. Now, which one are you going to choose, Commander?
Who's him?
Yeah, who's the him?
EJ. I have to use the same speaker. Things in the legal realm are very, very pressured, but are going very well. In the personal realm, as things are unfolded, in depositions, etc., and the entire point of them is to cause rifts, confusions, mighty battles that go on into infinity. You do need to be caught up, and you need to be caught up as unemotionally as possible. On the other hand, what happens if there is no emotional involvement or no particular personal involvement in something? Nothing gets done. It turns out that in life, the human being has to have a personal involvement for motivation. Although we note that there has not been enough motivation, simply because there is not enough knowledge, and you will find when you get into a courtroom, the judge will rule with them for your ignorance. The law says a person in pro per must meet all the requirements of the law. And believe me, the law books that guide that kind of activity is greater than the size of the IRS manual. The game of law has begun to be, well, it hasn't begun, it's been this way, and it just evolves and evolves. So that a lawyer does not want to file a document until the very moment that it has to be stamped by the clerk, if you can't fudge it, and then go lie about it in court. Well, I got it down here on time. I can't help it if it's missing. This happened with Horton, and he never filed it. And the judge caught it and then literally denied him the privilege of making that sell. But it's been used since in other things. And you come to find out that the opposition can utilize every deposition ever taken in every case that comes up after that. But you can't. This is a lesson in the system. But it can't be a system changed if ones don't know even what to change of the system. And yes, I'm sure. I've heard it. My people won't admit it to me, but I've heard it, and I've heard it right up until yesterday. I can't do this, Dad. Yes, you can, dear. I can't. I can't stand them calling each other these awful things. They claim to be friends. And you can tell by the questions that these are hurtful. These are destructive. And yet they can't hurt the Eckers. And they don't give in anymore to this emotional pace of the floor out in the hall. The truth is the truth. And when you stop lying and get to the truth, it will be the truth every time. You may miss the hour, you may miss the day, but the concept or what happened is the same. You may leave out things because after 10 years or 9 years or 6 years, the memory does fade on some things. And when you have so much in life going on, you're not going to have the proper dates or years or whatever in your testimony. But whoever's asking that should have it accurate, but they don't tell you. They don't help you. Well, if you'll just tell me what year we're talking about and one or two of the incidents, you're not here to ask me questions. Just answer the question. I don't even remember a year 1993. I either have to go by events or I can't answer that. But the threat is always there like the hammer. And once again, you will find that the most painful of all of this is not what an individual says to you once you have your own ego under control as far as your own activities and actions. And after you've been browbeaten long enough, you don't have the same. You can't hurt me much more, is the response. But can I sit here and watch them pick someone else to death? In the instance of Gene, for instance, Mr. Tipps brought Mr. Gene Dixon into this. He was recognized as Claude Dixon. Claude asked Eckers, please, to refer to me as Gene because I do have all these problems. And he wanted to be honest, so he shared one or two of the problems, which didn't amount to a hill of beans, only to have them find out later that these are felony convictions. It's all right to be disbarred. Well, that's fine. Well, I was, of course, innocent. That's what everybody says. I was innocent. I got caught in this. Well, if you're going to play where there is illegalities going on, you're very apt to be the innocent one put upon. That's a nasty world. And they're, of course, going to set up the other guy as a fall guy regardless, and they're going to jump ship and leave you there to hang in the wind. So what these people are having to face is that by bringing what was basically to be a friendly claim against an attorney who could have gone back in there, was offered to go back in there with full support to take this to the source. And this man says, I cannot live with Mr. Horn every day for the rest of my life. Oh, Scott, you want us to do that? You want us to write off hundreds of thousands of dollars and the only property we owned and pick up a debt of $1 million so you don't have to confront Mr. Horn? Well, I will have to counter against you. I can understand that, she said. But you don't come back threatening the attorney that comes along after trying to put these pieces together and threaten him with malpractice from a personal standpoint from the lawyer himself. Mr. Tipps literally in writing threatened Brad Ellie with a malpractice suit. In writing, he also just literally, basically in legalese, cursed and then denounced Brad Ellie in these words. You would really protect your client against your brother attorney? Question mark. How many counts do you end up with against this man? There was one legal incident. Two at the most. Now there are about four counts of unethical behavior laying out there on the table. Asking another attorney to remove stuff from the file because he didn't want to be caught. Asking Gene, don't let them bring this against me now because I am renegotiating my insurance. And he was in the States at the moment trying to renegotiate his insurance. But that's out now and it's known. It was known then. So then there are delays and delays trying to let it outdo its statute of limitations. And total cooperation with Mr. Horn in these delays. Because Mr. Horn's going to get caught. And then when you finally get to the point of asking for information and documentations, there is a total wall. You don't need to know about the insurance. Say what? That's what this is about, Mr. Tipps. I don't remember my insurance carrier. He must have been taking whatever Gene was taking. I don't remember my limits. And besides, it doesn't matter. Because at the time of the claim, it's just this. But you don't get any information on that either. So very definitely, you began to need a lawyer. And I was pleased. My people came right out and put it on the table. I would have preferred E.J. handle it a little bit differently, but it was uppermost in his mind, and so they're visiting, and so almost right off the bat. And I have to take a little credit for nudging him to do this. I hope you're not a Jewish attorney.
Hats off to E.J.
Well, he is a Jewish attorney. He wears a Star of David. He has a Jewish wife and family. But we got through that. And it would still be dangling, but we got through it. And there is a bond here now. And this man has, like I said before, Karen has really supplied him with stuff. And he feels that he is farther ahead in this case than he usually is. And, of course, he's right up against trying to keep them from getting some kind of a continuance to postpone this trial. And they are working. Oh, my goodness, they're working. But the judges are working equally as hard that within any possibility at all, they're going to have that trial start in June on time. That doesn't mean they can pull it off. Because here's Mr. Waite. Well, with all these volumes of material to go through and, you know, 200 years of contact paper and thus and so. And I have to have them this afternoon. I wonder what he did. He was in court all afternoon, looking in case Mr. Martin said something derogatory about Mr. Tips. And I'm sure that I have. Well, now, who said it? Oh, the space commander. Now we're off on a whole different tack. So we have to go through the Aton Haton bit. Well, Mr. Rhodes has no trouble meeting head-on Aton. He recognizes the symbols. He's an educated man. He has no notion about all of this other stuff. But he certainly knows all about the Herman Russell, spelled 14 different ways, that you're running in the paper now. And so we are going to enlighten him a little more. For Rick's protection, those assets are now resting in Gaia, the Global Alliance, because they'll be after Rick now. They already are. Mr. Blinston's already been back on the scene just since the first running of that paper. Mr. Russbacher, Mr. Williams, as in Dave, his cronies. Only this time it's more serious. So we're going to run the next series, or starting now, and we'll run this one four times. We don't need to run the others except two more times. I want that Gaia information where Rick has very generously handed this over where it was wanting to be by Mr. Herman at the time. And Grandma is having a, oh my goodness, breakdown. And do you notice, Rick, how much information you get? Why, you people were even trying to work with Mr. Leonardo, who actually went to Granny to try to get a better deal. And she just told him that these were no good. Well, that's fine. There he sits with about $40 billion worth of contracts that are totally, totally worthless. So V.K. Durham is having to face the fact that her precious Russell Herman, that she thought she had absolute, wide open, all assets. Russell, I hope you've read the documentation. One of the times that Rick was missing, he was literally dumped with such a responsibility in clandestine people, unidentified entities, signing over Russell Herman's portion. Russell did not try to even begin to go into the V.K. Durham half, because that would have had to have been made public. So he only dealt with his half. I'm just generalizing. I'm not going to give people on these tapes any more information than that. These are valid, and here is V.K. That is not his signature. It's close, but it's not his signature. Who forged it? Well, my goodness, it is his signature. And so I guess he forged it. Reminds me of the protocols, doesn't it? The forgeries. Well, lady, if his is a forgery, guess where you stand. So I want Rick in full protection henceforth. I want those, please, run in the paper as major public notices. There was an original sign over of that value that passed through contact. But we don't even want those papers disclosed. Lives are at stake. And before we move farther from the lives at stake, You have to know that what is happening now is extremely, extremely serious. There are people in the Los Angeles